This is the BBC.
Off-piste at the Paras, from the Winter Paralympics in Pyeongchang, with Beth Rose.
You'll find us near the beach today on Off-piste at the Paras as we come to Gangneung Park, which is home to the ice hockey and the curling matches.
I'm with sportsman Chris Osborne today.
Hello.
And we've been to a party today, haven't we? The ice hockey was rocking.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The South Koreans came out in force to see their team get beat 6-0, 7-0. Was it 7-0? Yeah, they were lulled all the way through, Mexican waves. And that send-off for them, even though they just lost the semi-final, was incredible. They will come back to play in the bronze medal match, but it was just the outpouring of noise and emotion and the sort of waving for the players, and it was a real festival.
They literally use every shot, save, goal as a reason to party. And I think in one of them, if you got the penalty, you had the old news at 10 Moira Stewart era. Do-do-do, just for the penalty.
That one.
No, not that one, a different one. But that one was played by an actual, real-life, real musician. A woman we couldn't quite reach. She was on the far side, had a keyboard, and you'll be familiar with what an ice hockey pitch looks like, probably. It's a big rink and a huge cubic TV screen in the centre. So she was thrown up onto the cubic screen for everyone to see. Seems to be enjoying it.
Yeah, she was doing all the covers as well. I think there was a bit of David Bowie in there she was playing and a few things like that. So that is very much to capture that kind of culture of watching ice hockey like you would do in the NHL. So you'll hear a lot of that. It's very sort of American sporty. Mm. And that was the whole idea, was to recreate that. And it's great because it does, if you treat it like the elite ice hockey, then people will come away from it feeling like it is elite and enjoy the experience more. And the sport itself, I've got to say, is just great to watch. Big hits, fast pace, plenty of goals today as well for, you know, even though they weren't the South Koreans. So in terms of British interest, there isn't any. So it's a sport we've seen less of than possibly people at home have watched, at least, because it might not have been the telly as much. But it's probably the most exciting to watch as a newcomer.
Yeah, it's a big hitter, isn't it, really, for people here. In the UK, we do have teams. We do have a British team, which is good, but I think they only had 8 teams in the competition. We didn't quite make qualifying, partly because we haven't got the greatest number of rinks that are the correct size and funding and ice time. But I know they're continuing to work hard. But we should say kind of how para ice hockey works. It's for anyone who can't stand up and skate as per usual or play in a regular ice hockey team. So they're down on sleds, which are basically the height of an ice skate blade, really. And they have 2 blades, and then they have 2, what do you call them?
Poles.
2 poles. Hockey sticks?
Yeah, poles. Well, they're poles they're used to propel, and the sticks. So unlike in hockey, where obviously you've got 1 hockey stick, they have a stick in each hand, and they have spikes on the bottoms, which they could use to move in the ice and propel themselves. But you can turn it round, and you can whack the puck with it, and you can actually use either. So you can kind of dribble using your left and right, and you can obviously shoot with your left and shoot with your right. So that's a bit of an added dimension compared to hockey. And so you've got to have massive upper body strength to be able to move yourself around. And as you say, the athletes will generally have lower limb deficiencies or be paralysed from the waist down. And yeah, they're getting 3 sleds, which are sort of generally kind of sized to fit them. It's talking to power ice hockey players recently and saying how you'll get them moulded to the shape of your backside, which must be fun to go for the fitting.
But I spoke to another ice hockey player yesterday, a young woman called Lena Schroeder, who plays for Norway. She's the only female on the team and the only female playing in this competition. And it was quite interesting because she said, you know, do your teammates get easy on you? And she said, no, they're like a great team. But coaches from the opposing teams ask her, should our players go easy? And she's like, if you want to, but I'm going to take you out. It's a really fast-paced, violent game. I wouldn't want to be one of the referees when they're jammed against the wall.
No, you get in the way, and the referees are actually pretty nimble, so they're obviously on regular ice skates, and they're sort of, they have to do a lot of skating backwards and like watching the game at
the same
time.
I feel like they're showboating a bit.
Yeah, no, they coast, and they're pretty cool. I mean, you've got to be, that's the first thing to really remember in any sort of ice sport like that. So before you even get the technicality of the game, you've got to be comfortable on ice. So you've got to either be comfortable at using the sled, or you've got to be able to be a referee, you've got to be able to actually skate before you can get into the nitty gritty of it all. And as you've alluded to there, the hits are big, and like a couple of the American players who I've spoken to, they lost their legs in a car accident both at the same time, and they ended up falling in love with the sport because it replaced that physicality of sports they played before their injuries. So they wrestled and played American football, and they said the thing they love is those big hits and the physicality and just driving someone against the thigh boards and into the perspex or whatever, and it gave them that buzz of really getting stuck into someone.
I mean, it's a big crowd pleaser, and today I think there's probably kind of a 98% capacity filled stadium, and of that, I'm guessing, I don't know, 89% were Korean. So one thing they did, one of the games they played in the intervals between the two periods was how noisy can we go with the shouting, and it was 103 decibels. It was loud, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was loud all the way through. I mean, that was obviously, I think they were trying to break the record for the loudest it's been so far, and obviously with all the South Korean fans in to support their team, yeah, it got pretty loud. I mean, say that noise at the end, that was probably one of my favourite moments of these games so far, actually, was just seeing that outpouring emotion from the locals towards their own players, because we haven't been to watch anything yet. And that actually was the busiest media section we've seen as well.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
To get beats. That was the first time at these games I've seen that as well, where you've packed in. So I dread to think that for the bronze medal match, which Korea will be involved in, and then the gold medal match, I imagine it'll be pretty packed in the media section, in the whole arena, and it will definitely be worth watching.
I mean, we're outside now, and Gangneung Park is really full. It's the most full venue we've been to. There's lots and lots of school children. We also went to the curling today, which for me was actually louder and more party-like than I was expecting for curling.
Yeah, well, South Korea were playing again as well, so that helped. A lot of people disappeared before the matches had finished, which was a little odd, but I think the ice skating arena is obviously here as well. And you're right about the buzz. This area here is probably the only place you go to throughout these Paralympics games where it has a real sort of Paralympic Park feel. So like if anyone went to London 2012 and you went to the Olympic or the Paralympic Parks, where you'd walk through, there'd be crowds, there'd be different arenas and stalls and shops. There's a big mega store here to buy all your Paralympic merch. It is really nice here. The only thing is it's getting on for an hour drive from where all the skiing and the snowboarding and the biathlon and the cross country is. So it's very disconnected, but the kids love it, and you've got the mascot bear going around and kids are getting themselves.
Bandaby, is it Bandaby?
I'm willing to trust your knowledge
like
on that one.
There's lots of school children as well. I think they've made a real effort to make sure that if you live in the local vicinity at least, that you have an opportunity to see something. And the other thing we spotted here and nowhere else is police on segways, complete with flashing blue lights.
Yeah, you don't want to get on the wrong side of the law here, because they will segway you down and throw you in the slammer. Yeah, getting around a bit quicker, I guess, you know, although not very good for keeping them fit though, is it?
Not really, but I mean, it's quite a big venue. I mean, we got lost the first time we came here and we walked miles, so I guess that's good. The other stuff we've been hearing about here, and maybe you can help us out, is there is apparently a New York Times journalist who is working here, and he's filed a piece saying how lonely he is at the games because there are so few American journalists with him. He has a photographer, but his photographer is South Korean and is obviously hanging out with all his mates. So he's called Ben Spiegel, and we'll put a call out to him. Come join us, Ben, if you're listening. Get in touch at BBC Ouch. And if anyone else wants to get in touch, we'd love to hear from you. So you can tweet us at BBC Ouch. You can find us on Facebook. You can hear and read all about our stories on the BBC News website, the BBC Sport website too. And we're on Instagram and putting those pages up. And that is BBC Ouch Disability. So check us out.
This has been a Winter Paralympics podcast brought to you by BBC Ouch from Pyeongchang in South Korea. You can email the team, ouch@bbc.co.uk, or tweet @BBC Ouch.